It may be still brunch time by the time you get out. Maybe. Depending if I go into sermon 3. Amen. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give me ears to hear what God has to say. I'm going to walk with power and not let the loss get left. Amen. You guys may be seated. So we're going to talk about sowing and reaping, right? Sow a decision, reap a condition. Whatever you do, there's going to be follow-up to it, no matter what, right? Living in the harvest of God. Now, when you sow and then there's a reap, the Bible clearly says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And there are things that you have sown unto God, you've done unto God, but the real work comes after you've done that. The real work comes when you've harvested, and you have to be in that place when once it comes up, you have to be ready to go get it. So many times we pray and then think like, okay, did it happen? No, you have to go get it after that. And that's the part that when people want, you know, when we want our blessings to come in, but are we willing to go get it? We prayed for it, but are we willing to go out there and bring it in and receive it, what God brought to us? So I prayed for you, but am I willing to just receive you like I prayed for you? Because sometimes we think, then it's supposed to just change. No, you have to go out there and you have to be out there and you have to be there for it, and you have to be willing to receive what you prayed for. What you're believing God. Well, I pray for my kid to change. I pray for them to be better. Okay, but did you go receive them better, or did you go receive them as a mess that you prayed for? Right? So you got it's got to be in there in the both ways. So look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 15. You'll recognize verse 15, especially the last sentence, but the rest of it sometimes a little dark. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And here's the part everybody quotes. Some people got this tattooed on them. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? I mean, that's a great part. Don't get me wrong. That's a great part. But don't forget that other part that don't, like, I can't serve the gods of my fathers and my uncles who got divorced. I'm not serving that. I'm not serving the ones that left their families. I'm not serving the ones who drink. I'm not serving the ones who smoked. I'm not serving that. I'm leaving them gods. I know what we were raised around. I know what we saw. But as for me and my house. Now, what house are they talking about? Because most people put that on their physical house. You are the temple of this Holy Spirit. Right? When someone cuts you off from traffic, ask for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Somebody say something wrong to you and come up to you in your face and say something crazy. Ask for me. You just may have to do it, right? Ask for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Because if you don't serve God, them other gods are going to get in. The other gods where you used to go to jail for. Them other gods that were used to fight for. Them other gods that where you had to go with your t-shirt torn up. You know, them people. Them gods. Those other ones. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. So my house has to start with me. If I don't serve God, if I can't even get me, and this is one of the things, like we said last week, if God can't get all your attention in the church together, when does he get it? Right? If he can't get it in here where we're all fellowshipping together, when does he get it? When does he get it? Like if you part-time and in the one time where you're supposed to be coming, and hopefully this ain't the one time, this ain't the only time, right? Because we want to make sure that we got God all the time. So if I sow a decision, I reap a condition. I am living yesterday's decisions right now. And if I don't pick it up, right, and I know y'all never done this, but I used to say, I'm going to do it better next time. Right? And then I push the harvest down the road, but I'm reaping the condition of not living up to par now. I am reaping that. Right? So we go into that. So I'm going to tell you now, because Wednesday sermon, I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, because this is a part of the two sermons. I'm going to keep going back and forth. And I'm still going to preach it Wednesday anyway. But the spiritual painkiller is vision. Jesus said in Hebrews 12:1, this is none today, because this isn't in anybody's notes, because it's going to come Wednesday. But in 12:1, where Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, despising the shame, all the hurt he went through. But because he had a vision, it didn't matter. If you're quitting, if you're too much pain, if it's too hard for you to do it, you have lost sight of why you did it. If my family becomes too much for me to pray for, I've lost sight of them being alive. I remember seeing it, right, where we saw siblings that died. So Mike, for the joy, I'm going to get up and pray anyway. For the joy, I'll miss a few hours of sleep. For the joy, I'll get off the meat again. For the joy, because something's set in front of me, I'm going to endure this. I got to endure this. My marriage, I got to endure. I got to endure this. I got to endure this. For there's something set in front of me. And I got to keep that. But if I lose my vision, that's why we got worship people quitting and going into other places. And instead of serving God, they're being pimped out by agents. Remember we said that? Prophetic 1997. There's a sermon I have in 1997. I promise you, you think he's preaching it right now. Not right now. And there's a difference between a motivational speaker and a preacher, and I do both. I do both, and I know the difference. It doesn't matter how big the crowds are, there is a difference when I stand here before the people of God. I'm not saying it's not people of God and those a big audience of 3,000, but it's a difference. There's something that pulls out of you when you stand here and deliver the word of God. There's a level of integrity that God says, that's my people. That is my place. Nothing wrong with being inspirational, but you better have some information to go with it. Because a lot of people leave church. Man, wasn't church good? What was it about? I don't know, but it was good. Inspiration with no information. They can't tell you anything about it. They can tell you how they felt, though. Well, what motivational speaking is that you may not remember what I said, but you remember how you felt. But that don't do you any good, right? Because I'm going to drive away. Me and my motivation going to be on the road, right? And so, again, when you get in it, get information along with inspiration, and then you can have a celebration, right? Of the word that you have, right? Because I can celebrate it now because now I'm informed. I can't do better if I don't know better, right? So I sow a decision, I reap a condition. I don't want you to be condemned, but I do want you to know whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. You'll reap that. So our conditions changed dramatically when we accepted Christ. We went from conditionally to death and hell to conditionally life and eternity. We went from one to the conditions change. The conditions change. Whatever condition you have in your life, one of the biggest things, and I get this question all the time, do you ever get afraid when you're getting ready to speak? I say every single time. There's not a time I'm not, and I don't say afraid, but I am definitely serious about what I'm about to do, even though it may look like what this looks like. And they say, really? I go, yeah. They go, how long have you been speaking? 30 years. 30 years, you still get afraid? Yes, because I'm about to sow something into somebody's life that can create conditions that may cost them because they're listening to me. And they have to take it back. So we pass out notes. We pass out the scriptures. We tell you, you want to get on the email list. We want you to see everything. Right? Because more than just taking the scriptures that I say out loud and say to you out loud, now I want you to go through the notes and go like, where did you get that from? Ask anybody to get the notes and actually read them. Ask them how many mistakes are in them. Because I write them hot. I write them when God's speaking to me, and I can't keep up with what he's speaking to me, so I'm trying to write, and then I just print it. I want you to see how quickly it was coming and how little help I, you're trying to, or you make it all like good sentences. I be writing some stuff. I go look back, I'm like, bro, you can't even read that. If you see the videos and you see me stop, like lost, it means I'm trying to make sense out of that sentence. This is all it is. You're trying to make sense out of your sentence. A lot of people stop serving God because the sentence is all jumbled up. It's the same thing. Just go do it, and we can correct it later. Right? That's why we're the body of Christ. It ain't my Father who art in heaven. It's ours. Right? It's all of ours. It can't be. We are shepherds. Oh, no, man. We know. So we have an open heart. Now we can see and we can do things. So when I think about this, what for the joy set before me, when I have a vision, when you have a goal, if you, and we've all seen this, right? If you've ever set your mind to do something that you're going to fix something in your life, we call them New Year's resolution. Let that goal die out. If that goal, the minute you stop believing you can do it, you'll dive downhill. The minute you can't see yourself being what you believed you were going to be, you're going to stop. You're going to stop. Can you imagine Jesus on the road to Golgotha stop because he no longer can see people being saved? He can't see them. Can you imagine that? He says, no, I'm going because I see people being saved. And then he's getting spit on. Talk about a bad day. Spit on. Y'all, listen. That's the one I can't handle. That's the one salvation ain't there yet. Man, I don't know what it is about somebody's spit, about what they done ate and they saliva. I'm not there. I know God's going to get me there. And maybe when it happens, I'll go, take me now, Jesus. There's some about the spit of somebody. They spit on our Lord and Savior. And he go, oh, that's okay. And that's what corrects me, right? Because Jesus said, go do the things that I do in greater works. He said, don't sow this condition. I know what's in your head, but don't sow that decision because you're going to reap a condition. People in prison today because they sowed a decision. And the condition they reap was a box. That is not good for them. Here's the other part of this that we'll address. Man, okay. Solomon. Solomon, a David's boy. David's a worshiper, David's a king. Solomon went for wisdom. Solomon had 700 wives. Man, not bless his heart. He took his heart. Like, yeah, I mean, woo, 700. What we say at the marriages, the two shall become, how you become one 700 times. How many, I mean, what? And I heard a priest, and it's just what I heard. That maybe he was trying to find one in a good mood. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's what I heard. Out of 700, ain't nobody happy. 700. But here was his problem, though. Here was Solomon's problem. God said, don't go marry somebody outside of your people, outside of the kingdom of God, outside of faith. But he went and did it, and this is why he did it. He went and married these people from other tribes and regions. So, because when you were married to a king, you could not attack that king. He was providing his own peace instead of doing what God told him to do to have peace. Well, they can't attack me if I'm married to one of their people. Think about how crazy that is, what we marry to, because we don't want them to get upset with us by telling them the truth. The shirts say, come to the altar. If you don't speak up, you'll have to live in their peace instead of God's. This is going to be on Wednesday. So if you don't hear it today, you're going to hear it then. He had 700. And they say Solomon's richest ever lived. He had to be. He had to be. 700 grocery shops, 700 HEBs, 700 Ross, TJ Maxx, the Domain, Yo Main, Him Main, everybody Main, like, what, like, 700? They only have some counseling somewhere? But you see how crazy we will do to try to get peace. When God said, if you'll just tell them about my name, if you quit running from problems, as Bobby Andian said, quit praying for power. If you run from problems, God can't trust you with it. And as we were talking about demonic possessions, and everybody wanted to be in there, when the youth group, Big Pop was in the youth group, you have to watch this, because we didn't run from nobody. It was like, yeah, I'm fresh in, and I'm fresh still, got to fight like that. I'm for Jesus. Jumping on homeless people, trying to make them eat sandwiches, chasing them with hot dogs. They needed to eat. I don't want that. Man, you eating this hot dog. Running with his heroin needle. But that was faith to me. That was, I don't want to just say I'm about it. I need to be about it. I need to actually do what God said. I need to sow this decision so that we can reap the condition. I need to sow the decision for our kids, no matter hyper, not hyper, sow the decision so they can have a condition when they walk into class next week that somebody ain't after them. They're for them, not after them. I know what it's like to be hyper. I live it. I live it. A little girl started crying when I was in Corpus, and she was a Christian. She'd just come from a Christian camp, but she'd say, my parents don't believe me. And she was hyper, and she couldn't sit down. But when I first got there, she wouldn't move. She was medicated, and she didn't become unmedicated till I start being me. And she goes, you telling me this is, you can live? Yeah. And I said, you're a Christian. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. Give your energy to God. God, whatever it is, if I'm only going to sleep 4 hours, make my 20 for you. And then I can behave. I can act right. I can act right. But if I won't give it to God, how is he going to help me deal with the 20 hours that I'm up? It's got to go to God, and that's how it changes. That's how it redirects. That's how it functions. That's how it helps. That's how I'm not dead right now. That's how I'm not in prison right now. They all said it. He will die at 21. He's not going to make it. He's short and angry. He ain't making it. He ain't making it. But God says, your mama is sowing prayers. And there's a condition for your life to live by faith, not by sight. There's a condition for your life to walk in the calling of God. There's a condition in your life that you're going to be the head and not the tail. There's a condition in your life that you're not going to stay like that. We know they got a biological order, but God's got my matter. Matter, I matter to God. So Joshua dealt with the same thing that people deal with today about being inclusive. Listen, Joshua said, okay, serve who you want to serve. Serve to God, your dad, sir. Serve to God, your father, sir. Then he said, but ask for me in my house. We're going to serve the Lord. In other words, man, you can judge me, but that's who I'm going with. You can judge. It's amazing. Everybody else outside of Christianity talking about, don't judge me, but the people that they okay to judge are Christians. you not drinking at the company party? No, I don't drink. Why? So you can turn around and say I'm a hypocrite? How about you pour out your stuff? So we have to stand. And he says, listen, you can serve those people. And again, when we speak about serving God alone, people will attack it. It doesn't mean that, see, this is one of them sentences I messed up. Let me read it exactly where I wrote it, okay? When we speak about serving God alone, people will attack, saying it is mean to not be inclusive. It's not that bad if you don't read it wrong. But what they call inclusive, the Bible called idolatry. I'm not going to worship getting along with you by going along with you. So you want me to go along with you, so that'll be my standard of peace. I'm going to go with God because I know he's my prince of peace. You just have a statement. I have a prince. I have someone that is bringing peace on a regular, that's going to bring it for eternity. Not just for one time, not just for one bit. So try to serve two masters is impossible. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. I hated fasting yesterday when I was serving that meat. Don't stop. I didn't even think about it. I was just like, we got a truckload to fill. But this morning, weeping may have been doing for a night. Joy came this morning. We back on it. I see the vision now. Running again. I was right back in it. I might have saw cloudy with a chance of meatballs yesterday, but today I see the Lord and his train. I see it coming down. I see it riding on me. So you have to stay into that because of the fact that it is that trying to serve two masters create instability. The area that is not serving God will not allow our minds to be renewed. And we know we need our minds renewed every day, according to Ephesians 4:23, that be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But if I'm trying to serve this God and that God, or serve this thing and that thing, I got to forget about my God while I'm doing this thing. And if I forget about my God doing this thing long enough, I'm not going to be renewed in my mind about prayer. And then when prayer comes up, I'm just going to scream and holler more than pray because I don't have a relationship. I just have an encounter. God is not 119, it's 911. And it's only in emergencies. Am I using God or will I let God use me? So I got to figure out which one it is, right? I got to figure out, so in my neighborhood, we said this, am I trying to pimp God? Put him on the streets of my situation when I need something? Or is he my Lord and we do this together? This is crazy, right? Joshua spoke the word that we should all speak, said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Okay, so we all know we should speak that. Here's the Hebrew tense has a fuller meaning. It expresses continuous action. So when he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not just this one time. That's when you knew he wasn't talking about just going to church. He was talking about everything I do. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It's continuous. It's not when things are going okay for me. By the way, people serve God less when they get their blessing anyway. I'd serve you more if I had more money. No, you won't. Because if you won't serve him down, you won't serve him up. You don't serve the people who are well off say, when I lose more money, I'll serve God. But when they do, guess what they do? Serve God. But God doesn't orchestrate that. Which one is it? What have I sown that the condition I'm living in, I can look back and find the seeds that I put in place. I had trouble waking up. Did you have trouble laying down? Then that's why you had trouble waking up. I love sunflower seeds. I'm not supposed to eat them. I am neck deep in several bags of sunflower seeds. They're all over the house. The only time they come back is during fasting, because it's the one thing you can eat. I could miss 45 minutes of my day just looking for that right one. It's just one good out of 100. If I just serve the Lord like this here, just that one seed, like some, they cook that one. Oh, there's another one in there somewhere. And if we would live for God like that, just keep digging, just keep digging, just keep, God, I know you're going to bless it. I know you're going to take care of it, but just keep going. Just keep going. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give in. Keep going. And so he said, it's continuous. It involves the future, but it can also point to the past. Joshua is undoubtedly affirming, I have chosen and I will choose. Joshua is saying to God, saying, God got me here and I'm going to trust God to keep me here and get me wherever he calls me to be. He got me here. He keeps me here. He's going to take me to the next place. So as our kids are getting ready to go to school, they need to go like that. I'm here, I'm serving God. I'm going to bring others to Christ. I'm going to trust God to keep me here and wherever he calls me to. Joshua was determined on this course. No matter what anyone else thought, his relationship with God was not based on any man, but on the Lord alone. And he would serve God no matter what anyone else did. I would do this. I'd say this to you. If there is something that distracts you from God, that's not a blessing. Right? That's an easy one, right? Right? We said it's the kids in school. If somebody's distracting you from learning, that's not a friend. Because when they pass and you fail, they're going to make fun of you. That's not a friend. So that's not a person that you need in your life. If they are distracting you, that means that they're trying to make you or they're trying to be your God. Pastor Rita and I, we love each other. I can be good to her, but I can't be God to her. And she can be good to me, but she can't be God to me. I can't be so in love with her that she can't go and do the ministry things that she's got to do. If she's got to be here and she's been here at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, there is not an ounce of concern about that. I know she's protected. I know she's covered. And I have to let God use her, because the minute I need to be right up under you. And wherever you go, I got to go. That ain't going to work. Plus, I don't want to be there anyway. And the same thing with me. We cannot build the kingdom of God for other people and be there to bless people while sitting underneath each other, not trusting each other that God has spoken to them. So we sold the decision to reap the condition to let God use us. Right? That has to be about the relationship. This is why you got to be careful about thinking you didn't forgive somebody just because you don't trust them. I got relatives. I love them, but I don't trust them. Let me take your car, cuz. Nope. You drive crooked. They drive crooked. You mean swerving? No. They don't know how to go straight somewhere and straight back. I got to ride around the corner and show people a car that they don't own. No, you drive crooked. Cuz. And they call me Toe. Toe. Come on, Toe. Come on, Toe. No. Do I need to say bye to you with my toe? Whatever it takes, get up out of here. You drive. And we got to quit letting people drive our faith. We got to quit letting people drive our hope. We got to quit letting people drive our joy. Because they drive crooked. Oh, you know you like this. No, I don't. I don't like this. I love it when I try to especially if I try to talk to Jira and try to talk him into some of this veggie stuff I be making. He go, what's in it? That juice that y'all out there enjoy, he can smell one carrot in it. It's 85 gallons. He smelled one carrot. Oh, it's one carrot. That might help me be healthy. Yeah. Get that to the people. That's for church people. That's my seed. Right? But a decision is going to reap a condition. Like, I've got my current situation, my current addictions are based on my decisions. My anger, my frustration. It's been a tough week. You don't have to tell me about your week. I know it's been tough. Mine's been tough. I know your week has been hard. I know it has. I saw it coming, and we're going to get back on it, but I know it's been rough. I know some bad stuff has happened. I know some stuff that we made some choices that didn't go well. How about that? But now we have decided that we're going to have the conditions of God and the faith of God. So we're not going to let that keep us from standing up. Now, the rest of this, verse 16 through 18 in Joshua 24, says, so the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Don't be afraid. They'll come along if you stand strong. Be confident is all I know to say. The Bible says be strong and courageous. So he stood up and said, I'm going to serve God. You do what you want to do. I'm going to serve God. What's making people not want to serve God is, number one, we won't challenge them and tell them this is what the real truth is. And the other thing, we'd rather ride with them instead of die with God. It literally is a ride or die. Literally, that's it. That's the title of another sermon. We ain't ready for that one yet, but I'm just giving you stuff because I didn't get to say stuff last week, and I'm still in eat Brazilian steakhouse mode. It's right. I just want you to be my friend. I just want you to like me, not more than Jesus. Get to heaven and go, well, you know, God, I just needed them. I thought we needed us. It said this in our couples class. We used to do couples class. Remember that? We would say that. People said, we just need more friends. But when y'all got together, you said all we needed was us. Now we got to bring a crowd. We ain't got nobody to go to brunch with. I like bacon when I'm eating it. Lots. And lots. Bacon. That's what I went for first yesterday, though. You see, I done reaped a condition. I got a break now, right? You see, that gets on you quick. It didn't take me long. It had an IV hooked up. But he's saying that. He says, now listen, if you would just be strong about your faith, they'll come along. If you go on and say, okay, you that's you. Here's what I'm telling you. We're going to go serve God. And they will remember the only reason why they're here on this earth is because God brought them here. We got people talking about all kind of crazy stuff, but they were raised up in church. They will remember that God brought them here. They will remember that it was God, that the only reason why they can sing, they got any of that, was because of God. But they need you to step out and just you stand firm. You ain't got to argue with them. We're going to church. We can tell you about relatives, my parents, that have come to visit, and they drive out on Sunday. We don't miss church, too. No, sir. Because they know they're not my God. That's rude. Your mama ain't going to be here long. Ain't nobody going to be here long. That's why I'm sticking with the one that's going to be here forever. You go ahead. You go on, ride with them. And we're not telling you not to do that. Don't get me wrong. Your family may want, you may make the best biscuits for the family. But if they can't biscuit up in here, that's on you. Man, if y'all don't know how many times people made up stories and came up with stuff about us, at that point, we don't care that I was poisoning people to get them to come to church. If they see us drinking juice now, you know good and well that they following you around. They got coroners following the cause. You know, he was known for killing people before this. Now, how am I not in prison then? People will say anything because they don't like boldness. They don't like people stand up for the truth. They don't like this. I love people that fight with me. I love it because then I know exactly where they are. I don't have to work none out. I don't have to work that out. Okay, so listen. Committed leadership increases our bandwidth to make room for the dreams and goals and even the mistakes of all those around us. Realize that when you stand strong, your bandwidth grows. They say, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." So that means that if your kids make a mistake, they know that you got enough bandwidth to bring them in. They know that you got enough bandwidth for their goals, their dreams, whatever it is. They know you got enough bandwidth because they know you're going to serve God regardless. You can talk to me because I got the bandwidth to handle it. Because I'm not serving the conversation. I'm serving the God of my Father. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 through 20. I didn't get into the other sermon, so I'm sorry. It says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day. Record this day against you. That I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest have the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Now, he said, "I set before you blessings and curse, life and death." Okay, God, how about this? Why do you have to set the curses and the death up there? You know, it'd be easier if it was just blessings and life, right? Wouldn't that be easy? Right? Because what do people say? "Well, if God's really real, why do bad things happen?" Okay? He said, these things are set before you because you live in a fallen world. Adam and Eve made that happen. We got that. We got a fallen world. So blessings and curses, life and death is set in front of us. And then he gives us the answer to the test. Choose life. Well, who benefits if you make a decision? Who gets the condition? So that you and your seed may live. Our kids are under the conditions of the choices that we make. If I choose to be abusive, my kids will live in an abusive condition. If I choose to not work and take care of my family, my kids will live in that condition. If I choose to not serve God, if I choose to not read my Bible, if I choose to not study, if I choose to not come here and work and serve before God, my kids will be conditioned to not. They're under condition, not air conditioned. So when you are fouled, continuation. Anybody, basketball people, anybody know what continuation means? Yeah. Y'all act like y'all scared. Like, it's church. I don't know if we should talk about sports, but. The guy's driving to the basket. He gets ready to shoot a layup. He gets fouled. He continues on and finishes his shot. And they call it the bucket and one. Then he gets a free throw. So it could be a three-point play. Okay, y'all with me now? All of you folks who act like y'all don't know nothing about sports. Okay, so listen, what I'm telling you is when you go to God with this much confidence and you're going to run into some fouls, continue. Have some continuation. Now, let me tell you who get the free throw. Not you, your kids. Guess who get to stand at the line and don't have to worry about getting fouled because you already took the foul and you are continued. See, the crazy part of it is we get fouled and we just want to holler. And I'm not going to talk about certain NBA players that, but you want to flip around. Finish your shot. Like, it's a condition. I hope and pray that we all have the condition. Your health is changing. Everything you're changing. That whatever you're not able to decide on, I pray that we decide together and we grow together. That's going to be conditioned. I'm not in there just speaking to people in strangers. I told the kids on Wednesday, if I can speak to strangers, I got to be able to speak to those I know. You think y'all get to hear it? It's got to be. So the same little girl that was dormant and that her Ritalin had kicked in and it was keeping her still, when she saw this, and I'm pretty sure her parents are not happy with me, she took off. We could not get her to sit still. And neither did I. I didn't sit still. Every activity was like, boom, she's running back and forth. Boom, she was like, the freest I've ever found. She goes, I'm going to go to my pastor, and I'm going to tell him they need to have you come down there and talk to the parents. Somebody got to be starting something. She hurt her ankle. She put ice on it. And this is where it is, right? Because all of us who got hyper kids, we know how they work, right? I'm injured. She pulled it. Now, I knew it. It's one thing I could do is I know it because I know me. I know the manipulation tactics of a hyper kid. Right? And she was like, oh, I'm injured. I'm so injured. She had ice on her. She was making a scene. It was during lunch. The next activity breaks up. She over there running in place. If you would show your condition, your holy one, it will make a difference in everyone you come around. And they know you know. They know, you know. Little Mackenzie, she was trying to. It was Mackenzie. That was her name. That's what it was. It's like, why did I think of Jay? It was her name. It was Mackenzie. And she was like, what? We did jump rope. We did jump rope activity. And she was, it's a jump rope. But her ankle was almost broken earlier. But they say they can't get these kind of kids to do anything. Maybe if you don't relate to them, they can't relate to listening to you. Right? It's hard to get me to do something if you can't relate to me. If you look at me like I got some kind of problem. And I do. There's something. I'm not ADD. So y'all can say whatever you want. I'm not ADHD, which is what she asked me. Are you ADHD? So you didn't even just stop at ADD? You got to put that health thing in there. You ADHD. No, get K and I if you want to. I'm not them either. I K. Whichever way, but to do that and put it in there, okay? And so be the influence. Amen? Bow your heads. Let's pray. Y'all make us go over. Father, I just pray for each and every one of us. And Father, we know the decisions, good or bad, that have caused conditions in our life. And Father, for those of us as we're praying that are hearing me, realize that I'm living in a condition, whether it's an addiction or whatever, based on a decision. I have a belief about life based on a decision that was made. And if that decision isn't good right now, just repent to God right now, right where you are. God, forgive me for that decision. I'm in a condition, maybe it's your health that has been under attack because of decisions that were made and create condition. So God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that as I surrender and ask for forgiveness, this belief I got in my head, this thing I think about myself, this thing that I see myself, I don't see anyone really loving me because of decisions and I've seen because people have not loved me in the past and things have abandoned me before. I just don't see how anyone's going to stick around. But in Jesus' name, I surrender that to you, Lord God. And my decision is to let myself be loved in the name of Jesus. I need to have a condition. I need to look in that mirror and know that I am worth being loved. I need that. I've been so in decisions. I've been just squeezing in to people's life, and I've been making everybody else happy because I just squeeze in. I don't even make them make space for me. All I'm doing is just getting in where I fit in. But today that stops. Today that stops. I go where I'm celebrated, not where I'm tolerated. I know, Lord God, that you have a place for me, but this condition in my head where I look in that mirror and I say, there's no way that that's something anybody will want. I pray over you right now in Jesus' name. You're going to see that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God loves you still. That the needle of God's love isn't moved by your challenges or even your decisions. is moved by your heart. Lord, the condition of my heart, I turn over to you. And I'm going to walk consumed by who you are in my life. I know, Lord God, I know that you are worthy to be praised. I pray as God is telling me right now, as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, pray I minister to broken hearts. I pray that you receive your heart being healed. It's not shattered in pieces. Pray that you can receive yourself like Jesus does. That he loves you. He remembers you. He remembers your innocence. He remembers the very fact that the thing that's troubling you the most was something you didn't go into looking for trouble. You went in looking for joy. But you can't find your happiness in people. You find your happiness in God. And then people would become a byproduct of that joy that you have. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for delivering and ministering to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.